This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
And for the listeners at home, that was visual humor.
Yeah, also, fuck you for not coming to England.
Yeah, there you go.
There are people in England who are like, sorry, mate, can't make it. Rabbity Tumfy. And I was like, fuck you. I flew 9 hours next to a crying baby and Noah reacting to a crying baby. You can come across your 3x3 foot country.
I was quiet most of that time. I was very quiet, I thought, on the airplane. Whatever.
So, also, I love this line where Ben
Noah
Stein
killed
says,
the babies.
God awful movie.
Movies.
Welcome back to the Gamcast, where each week we sample another selection from Christian cinema because at some point we all got no-no hugs. I'm your host, No Illusions, and we're coming to you live from QED in Manchester, England. Let him hear you, Manchester. Thank you. You are too kind. And of course, joining me from backstage, here's my good friend, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Heath Enright. I'm going to give you that seat because you're taller and look, it'll go up, down, up like that. And of course, also joining me from backstage is my... Just Eli?
Yes.
Do you have clothes on?
Yes.
Like all the way?
Great question.
All right, you know what? I'm going to be specific here. When you walk out, will anyone be able to see your dick?
Also a great question. Yes.
Can we do something about that, please, before the...
I put it away.
Okay, all right. And joining me from backstage is my bad friend. Give it up for Eli Bosnick.
You said we were dressing British.
Are you going for chimney sweep?
Yeah,
here?
This is chimney. They're all uncomfortable because you're dressed like people. You gotta dress like they do. This is how...
He's got a little...
That, sir, is cultural appropriation. We'll have none of that. Dude, you're in fucking blackface.
I am not...
You're in Michael Jackson blackface.
I am in chimney sweep face.
It's a burnt umber, to be fair.
I'm a Kardashian at best. That guy said it was okay.
Did you by any chance bring normal clothes?
I did. They're under the table.
Perfect.
All right, well, Eli is preparing for the record. I guess we can get started. So tell us, Heath, what will we be breaking down today?
All right. We want... Just a little to the left. Just a little to the left. Perfect. Cool. We watched Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, Full Movie YouTube. Excellent movie. It's the story of how big science has a glaring data-centric bias.
Yes, yes.
There's also another story to it. I don't know if anybody caught it. More importantly, it's about the anti-Semitic finches that started the Holocaust. Didn't see that coming. That's the other part.
And
nice.
Yep, you're wrong. Oh, yeah. By all means, chill. It's not bad enough we had a fucking Donald Trump ad on our show.
I'll do a live read for Donald Trump. Brought to you by Donald Trump. MAGA.
And Eli, how bad was this movie?
Well, if you love Michael Moore movies, but you hate how factual and fair they are, you will love this movie. This movie is the equivalent of shitting yourself while thinking that someone else is embarrassed. Like, just if you have shit filling your pants and you're like, you look super silly right now. If I had full-on blacked up and then went outside to argue with Andy about his ring of boys, that is the equivalent of this movie. By the way, if anyone sees him, the police are here. Because I called them.
And is there anything you guys like to nominate this one for being the best at, being the worst at?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Best worst discussion of the Holocaust that was not a denial.
It was, yeah.
Or it might even be worse than that. This might be more offensive than some Holocaust.
If you were polite about your Holocaust denial, it wouldn't be as bad as this movie.
It's
just,
because denying it, it's not as bad as pretending it was pigeons.
Yeah, right.
Which is essentially what this movie is. It's like, oh yeah, the Holocaust happened, and it was crazy. Can I go with best worst not knowing when you're describing yourself?
Yes.
John Lennox in this movie is like, they're so biased. Also, they're fat. Have you seen how fat they are? They look unhealthy. That's all I'm saying. 20 to 30 minutes of cardio a day. John, you just farted blood.
Yeah, every time. You did.
Farted blood.
I have one other nomination. Best initials for a main character who's constantly wrong.
Yes.
Half my notes, literally, I'm looking at them right now, half of them start with BS colon.
So. And they end with colon BS. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, a lot of the audience already sat through this batshitter, so we're not going to keep you waiting much longer. We're going to pause for a quick break, and when we come back, we'll break down all the motivated fucktardery that is Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed.
From the makers of Expelled and Nothing the Fuck Else comes a documentary unafraid to ask the hard questions.
Did Sandy Hook really happen?
Seriously? You're a monster. A casual Google would tell you you're wrong and that it clearly happened.
It's a film about a supposed school shooting and the holes in their story.
Okay, what about Columbine?
That happened.
Pearl Harbor.
Also happened.
Yesterday.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Because the way we see it, a documentary isn't about what you know.
Do guns shoot bullets?
Yes, fuck!
But what you're willing to pretend you don't know.
Do we know that kids can't catch bullets?
So stupid.
Repelled. Coming this summer.
And we're back for the breakdown, and holy shit, if this movie isn't going to start off going full Nazi commie, which they seem to think is the same thing.
Are they not aware that the Berlin Wall and Nazis are separate things in history?
Very much not. Also, this movie makes it 0 seconds into this movie before it understands it's describing itself, because they put their own names on the Berlin Wall
with,
in the,
like,
credits.
Created by?
Yeah, because they've got a picture of the Berlin Wall, which is like the bad thing in this movie, and then it's like, created by Ben Stein. Put it just above or below, but not on.
And then we get this. Okay, so this is probably the bullshittiest moment in the movie. You may not know why. So the movie starts off with Ben Stein. He's about to go on stage in front of this packed crowd at Pepperdine University. Or at least that's they'd like you to think.
He is not. No. He is not. There are three Pepperdine students at this thing. Everybody else is extras. Pepperdine says this.
Yes, Pepperdine has confirmed that this was all extras. So if you watch the movie, that is they paid that crowd to come in and clap for Ben Stein.
And they don't even do a good job as extras. Like, we could convince everyone in this room to do a better performance, because the entire shots of the audience are people like this. And then at the end, they're like, standing out, they said an extra 10. They said an extra 10, and we can get muffins.
We're getting pizza.
We can get muffins. I'm amazed.
And basically, the speech he's giving is just, bald eagles, freedom!
Literally, I guarantee you, they were like, Ben, we can't pay you for this scene, but every time you say freedom, we'll give you $5. And he was like, I'm going to hack the system. I'm going to make this a $25 million paycheck.
So basically, this whole movie is just going to be a series of people saying they were fired for being intelligent design folks or whatever, and every one of them is increasingly full of shit. But we start off with my personal favorite. This is the Richard Sternberg guy.
Yeah. Oh.
Now, this is the story he will tell you is that he got fired from the Smithsonian because he published an article that was peer-reviewed, y'all, that was in favor of intelligent design. That is absolutely not what fucking happened. But, of course, all we get is Ben Stein's, you know, pseudo-bullshit skepticism. Like, are you sure about that?
Now, when you say the things you say, do you say them? Skeptic. Usually one Googles their sources, Ben, and he's like, Google, I don't speak Chinese.
But this guy claims he was fired for being an intellectual terrorist.
That's the word he uses.
Yeah, we waterboarded his brain. And that was the problem. But none of this is true. He didn't actually work for the Smithsonian, right?
No.
He had like an outside unpaid
He was an unpaid research assistant. Yeah.
Yeah. And also the peer review process that you mentioned.
Yes. This is the best.
This is the greatest. The peer review process, he says it's 4 biologists, 5 PhDs total. One of those biologists is him.
Yes.
2 of those PhDs are him.
Yes. And
the other 3 people, he will not identify.
Yes.
There's secret peer
just
review.
Your typical opaque science review.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So basically, this guy was in charge of this journal. They would send articles to him, and it was his job to assign the peer review, right? So he assigned this intelligent design article to himself, even though he was nowhere near the most qualified person to do it. He published the thing. But here's the other thing. He also wasn't fired for doing that, right? He had announced 6 months earlier that he was going to step down from the journal, so that just happened when it was supposed to happen. And then they gave him a different job in the Smithsonian, a different unpaid research job.
Despite choosing peers like a racist lawmaker drawing a voting district.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which he was still doing during this movie.
Yes!
During this movie, he was like, I got fired by the Smithsonian. Hey, Steve, see you at the work party on Friday.
Right.
It's Karen's birthday. We do cakes. I know it's silly. Anyways, I was fired. I'll see 5 minutes. I'm doing a movie about how evil you are. Nuts. Also, the only thing this man deserves to be fired for is the fact that his forehead is slowly overtaking the rest of his face, like Hitler overtook Poland.
Foreheads are sexy.
Yeah, exactly. A creationist should not slowly look like they're devolving.
Well, of course, Ben Stein isn't completely convinced, so we get some more of his faux skepticism bullshit. And he's like, I wasn't sure about this, so I went to see the head skeptic or whatever, Michael Shermer. We met in a very lovely elevator. And
almost too soon.
Apparently.
Too soon.
So
you get it.
And basically, a
couple people got it.
Andy got it.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's not Richard
were booing there. Yeah. So they sit down, and first of all, by the way, if you're curious how they got all these people, like they got Shermer and Dawkins and P.Z. Myers, who was at least at the time a big deal in atheism, they lied to them. They fucking lied to them, right? They told them that they lied to them about what the movie was about. They lied to them about what the movie was called.
The title,
lied to them
yeah.
About, yeah. Yeah, and then they said later, oh, no, we just changed the title after filming, but we bought the website for the title that we changed it to 6 months before we started filming.
And we changed the tagline in the movie.
Yeah, right, exactly. So they lied like crazy to these people to get them in there. And then, as if that's not bad enough, every skeptic or scientist or person who isn't full of shit that we meet in this movie, we meet right after they said therefore. Right? All we ever get is their conclusions. They cut to Shermer and he's like, and it's bullshit. And that's it. They never give you any of the reasons why.
And what's so amazing about this movie is, like, if they were good at editing, they could have made these people look bad. But I feel like after Richard and Shermer and PZ saw the movie, they were like, sure, you can use it. Like, because they do the worst job. It's just like, all their gotcha questions are just Michael being like, that's a stupid question, though. And Ben Stein being like, we're nailing this. Are you rolling? They've never heard this before.
Well, right,
I can hear you, Ben.
No.
Richard's eyes are based on movement. Just Ben Stein holding perfectly still in Richard Dawkins' apartment, who's too polite to tell him. Oh, where has Ben gone? Sure seems like I should go to sleep now. Nope, he's not leaving.
Well, you even ask him at one, because he's talking to Shermer. He's like, well, do you believe people should be fired for thinking things? And he's like, That's not even a question at all. He's like, okay, ladies. He's doling it out a little bit of time, and then he's like, okay, but what about if they got fired for thinking bad things? He's like, that's still not, you're not asking me a thing. He's like, okay, what if they got fired for being creationist? He's like, that didn't happen. He's like, okay.
But if you're wondering,
what if it did?
And if you're wondering if he ever comes back to Shermer and is like, well, it did happen because we have evidence, they never do. It's just in a separate shot later goes, looks like Michael Shermer was wrong.
Yeah, right.
Did you say something, Ben? No. It's like saying shit to your mom when she sends you to her room.
Yeah,
like,
right.
There and you're like, fucking bitch. What did you say? Nothing. Said I have a fucking itch right now. I'm so upset at you, and I respect you.
So now we get, like, a rapid-fire succession of crazy, dumb fucks lying to us about why they were fired. The next one we get is Dr. Carolyn Crocker,
right,
who got fired for mentioning intelligent design.
She looks like she got the money back from Mary Kay. She's the one. She's the one who couldn't sell the lipstick or whatever it is. And the truth of her story is, not only in her chemistry class, she was like, intelligent design is true, the fossil record is wrong. And they were like, and students complained, and so they were like, okay, well, we're not, again, they didn't fire her, they just didn't hire her back. And then she went to a different, not real university, where she did the exact same thing in front of reporters. And they sent a reporter into her class, and she was like, Jesus 101! And the reporter was like, I'm a reporter, and she was like, Jesus 101, do you need me to write that down? I can give you my notes.
Yep, she was full of shit, too. And then we get to meet Michael Egnor. You guys know Michael Egnor?
Yeah,
that's a lovely human being right there. And he's talking about how, like, you know, he was pro-intelligent design, so everybody hated him. And he says at one point, he's like, you know, people had some pretty nasty comments about me, and I'm like, you haven't met Eli yet.
He looks like he's playing the world's longest game of Chubby Bunny. He looks like he won't let the bee out of his mouth until it apologizes.
Mm-mm. No, he looks like a missing link between Alfred Hitchcock and Droopy Dogs. Right? Which, man, why are there still Michael Egnors?
Yeah, right? And then, of course, we also get Robert J. Marks, the guy who had to give his grant money back just because it was collected fraudulently.
collected fraudulently, and he, like, put up a fake website.
Yeah, with the university's name and everything in it.
Right, he basically went on and he was like, I can fuck away your LymeDisease.com, brought to you by Yale. And they were like, dude, give us the Weebly money back. And he was like, oppression. He looks like a fifth grader ran out of brown marker when coloring in his beard. It's fantastic. You know his wife was like, so you're going to go like that? And he was like, yeah, is it okay? And she was like, yeah, it's great.
And then we get the astronomer guy, Guillermo Gonzalez. And this guy's argument is, I didn't get tenure. It's like, almost everybody doesn't get tenure. Yes. Like, the fact that you published a creationist book called The Privileged Planet probably didn't help. But that's, you know, they like, and of course he's like, well, I'm sure I would have got tenure otherwise. Like, yeah, that's kind of what everyone says.
Yeah, everyone's sure they get tenure. Maybe you didn't get tenure because that chimp ripped off your face and then the doctor sewed it back on. There's a variety of reasons why. He looks like he should be an undecided voter asking Trump a question. I just want to know, is my hair going to grow back? I'm going to be doing a Reddit MAA.
And, of course, now that wasn't all of the people they had. They had other people that refused to show their faces. This is not the first time in the movie that it'll say, and trust us, there's a lot of other people that agree with us, too. You don't even need to see that.
They have people in the dark, like a 60 Minutes thing about priests who fuck kids.
Right.
Like FBI informants. Like, they thought the tweed coat mafia was coming after them. It's ridiculous.
And then we finally get around to asking the question, but what if intelligent design is just bullshit? And I thought, okay, like, you know, at least we're going to deal with this in the first act of the movie. Yeah, but basically what they're doing here is they're going like they're trying to say, like, it's not that they don't agree with us. It's not that we're wrong. It's just that they think that intelligent design is the same thing as creationism, but it's not. That's the argument, essentially, that we're getting from...
Right, but they never explain why. Like, throughout the movie, they'll be like, intelligent design and creationism are different things. And Ben, doing the skeptic thing, goes, why? And they're like...
And scene.
Guys,
yeah.
Cut. No, you don't say cut. Ben says cut. Everyone here says cut.
And now it's time to, for a quick visit to the Disco Toot.
Yeah, the Discovery Institute. They make a big... there is a whole series of scenes in this movie where they show that the Discovery Institute is in a shitty, small, single-floor office like it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like you'd be more impressed by Oxford if it was just a guy shouting truth from the bottom of a well. Well, okay, 3 plus 3 is 6. Now, see, that guy doesn't have pants. He's got the truth.
All right, but see, what they're going for here is, they're causing so much trouble, and all they've got is this little four-room apartment here or whatever, and that's what they're shooting for, right? But what they're actually saying is, like, the largest organization that's willing to take this idea seriously is three guys in a fucking office building off in the corner of some condemned shit in Seattle.
Yeah, Timothy McVeigh worked from home. It didn't make it more impressive. Just some FBI agents go, oh, this isn't a factory.
It's a studio apartment.
Yeah. Now, but according to the Disco Toot is not full of shit. They, and also they're not religious. I love the bit where they're trying to say, like, we're not religious, we got a Jew.
Yeah, literally. They have a Jew.
Muslims.
And Muslims.
Muslims. Yeah.
Oh, and Muslims.
Did anyone watch it with subtitles? In the subtitles, it is spelled Moslem. Emoji of the American flag.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's fucking incredible. The people who subtitled this movie are wrong about things. You have to go several layers into the production to find someone who knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, because he's talking to this guy from the Disco Toot, and he's going, like, he's like, well, you know, shouldn't all ideas be debated forever, even after they've been disproven? The guy's like, yeah, that's how we should do it. That's how it's supposed to work. He's like, you know, when was the debate settled? And I'm like, how about December 20th, 2005, in the Kitzmiller versus Dover decision, when the fucking Supreme Court of the United States ruled that creationism was intelligent design.
Well, this is spoilers for a little later, but it turns out that's we just do the Supreme Court for fun.
Yeah, I guess. That's you're right. No, just, they don't solve.
It's just to keep people busy.
Yeah.
While the lizards are working.
And
Tom gets it.
And also, so he says, like, you know, he's like, well, let me send you to some real intellectuals that can help you out and prove that we're not religious. Why don't you start at this Bible university in Los Angeles?
A Bible university? And he does the fake skeptic thing, like, oh, sir, seems like you're into Jesus here. And then in the point where he's supposed to prove that he's not, like, a church person, he goes, so, are you a priest? And the guy's like, no. Are you a pastor? No. Did you teach Sunday school? Yes. Wait, no, we're supposed to not
no,
do... Again, if we were doing the things Eli's fucked, it would be like, have you fucked a rabbit? No. Have you fucked a cat? No. And then we wouldn't say, has Eli fucked a pig? That answer is something we don't want to... You're British, you get it. Your prime minister did that, right? You got a new one now, though. You got a lady. She killed him. Is that how it works? You kill the last one, and then I have no idea.
I did explain the libel laws here to you, didn't I?
Oh, okay. Yeah,
a little stricter.
She didn't kill them. Funny jokes. I'll get sued by Theresa May. I'm up for it. Also, was this the part?
Dance off, Theresa May.
Can I demand a dance off? How does your government work? You can demand a dance off, right? I want to watch Boris though. Johnson do a dance off. Something about a movie?
Was this the part where they said Stonehenge was evidence of intelligent design somehow?
Yes, yes.
Those, like, yes. I mean, I always argue that those stones evolved into planets. That's kind of going to
slowly,
shoot
but
my argument
started
right
with pebbles. And, yeah, exactly. And also, this is such a minor scene; it's almost not worth bringing up. But he goes to Texas to talk to Dembski. And while he's going there, they're playing this little country tune about how evolution is just a theory.
So good. The lyrics to this song are, fuck you, Jew boy, don't tell me you weren't there. It, literally, you weren't there is one of the arguments. That is what you yell at a cop when your wife has a black eye. It's not an intellectual argument. Am I free to go? No, that's why my knee is in your back. Am I free to go? I'm an independent Simpson.
And then we also have to meet Stephen Meyer, another creationist douchebag who calls himself intelligent design. He's the one who wrote the article that the guy didn't get fired for putting in the thing. So they meet up at this coffee shop so that Ben can pseudo-incredulously ask him, like, how dare you challenge Darwin? He was so smart.
Yeah. And, part of his argument was if there's an argument on one side – there's bound to be an argument on the other. Like, when did the tautology stop beating its wife?
Yeah, right.
How is that useful?
Yeah, because he actually makes a good argument that applies to himself. He's like, beware the sound of one hand clapping, which means, like, check your sources and stuff. But he heard that and he was like, right, only pay attention to the other hand.
Yeah, got right. It.
All right, Lefty, it's you and me from now on. There's 85 million other hands on the other side. Doesn't matter.
Well, right. Yeah, they ignore that a little bit, too. And I love, too, Stephen Meyer at one point says, well, it's going to be settled by the evidence. I'm like, is that past future tense? I've heard that before. And then also we get where do we go from there? Oh, now we go to Paris. We go to Paris to meet David Berlinski. And I don't speak French. Heath does. Were they singing Why Are There Still Monkeys at the beginning
of
this? Okay,
they were.
All right. I figured.
Baisez toi, tu on ne vois pas.
It's like that.
Yeah, that's
the same thing I said before, but in bad French.
And edit.
And
you guys loved that joke. Casey, I edit, and then you loved that joke. Make you love everything.
So can we talk about Berlinski for a second? His appearance, first of all, is kind of crazy. He looks like the Fonzie got bit by a vampire. He's like halfway to change it.
He looks like Christopher Lloyd took a job as a hitman. Wearing long white gloves like Audrey Hepburn.
But he's also he's in that – do you guys remember the reclining chair he was in?
Yes.
It was so inappropriate. They're talking about science, and he's like all the way back here.
Well, but also
– laid out. Talk about science. I'm just going to –
Ben Stein, I don't understand. The whole he's lying. Literally, he's doing a handstand by the end of this movie.
I gotta be. This is completely honest. I thought he was all gimped up like Hawking or whatever because he kept shooting. And he's literally like this, his legs up in the air. I'm like, sit like a human. I'm supposed to take you seriously. Why?
But we're
you
not
so
afraid
low?
That Stephen Hawking's gonna sue us.
Well, sure. He is gimped up though. That's a fact. So,
if there's anything we want you to take away from the show, it's that Stephen Hawking is gimped up. If you'd like your Stephen Hawking is gimped up t-shirts, we don't have those. Noah said no.
Yes, he did. I say a lot of no. So, and then we reach the first of three shitting on Richard Dawkins portions of the film. And, there's some good, there's some good shitting on Richard Dawkins out there. This isn't it. But
they shoot him spooky.
Yes,
like they
yeah.
very clearly shoot Dawkins like they shot the Iceman in those Iceman documentaries. Like at any point you're like, wait, when is Richard going to confess to the murders that this is about? And Richard is so sweet and confused by the whole process.
Yes.
It's like he's on trial, but he didn't know. He's just sitting there and he's like, oh, fun science documentary. Excited to be a part of things. And Ben Stein's like, So? You're in my home. They at one point they had to ask Richard Dawkins to turn the lights out in his own home
yeah,
to
right.
make him look scarier.
Yeah, exactly.
The PAs are wandering around. No, scarier. Oh, it's my kids over there. My wife.
Can we make them dress like ghosts? Like you're always followed by ghosts.
Hitler's ghost.
So we'll get there.
Teaser.
We really will get
yes,
there.
Yes, we will. Yeah, yeah. For, unbelievable. And but this is where they pull the little switcheroo on you because we're talking about how bullshit evolution is, and all of a sudden we're now talking about how bullshit abiogenesis is. He actually says at one point, he's like, Ben Stein says, well, how can there be a theory of life if it doesn't include how life began? It's like, yeah, how can I tell you when I'm going to be there if I don't know when time started? You substitute any two things there and it makes no fucking sense.
You say you're going to be on time, but you can't tell me how to make a watch.
Yeah, right.
Who's the stupid one now? You're actively pooping, Ben. You're actively pooping. Am I?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Also, I love the extent they go to – okay, so, you know, yes, we don't know how life began. But there's a big difference between we don't know and we have no fucking clue. Those are two different statements. But science is not going to just go out and say, yeah, we know it was this. They're going to wait until they actually fucking know. But these guys are taking advantage of the whole, like, well, it could be this and it could be that. And maybe it was this. And they're like, oh, you have no fucking idea, do you?
And again, the bad editing of this movie plays this really badly because they're like, when did time begin? we don't know. Like, that's a getcha for some people. But they let the scientists explain it and be excited and knowledgeable.
Right.
Which makes them look terrible, because Richard's like, oh, well, it could be that. He's excited to talk about it. So he's like, oh, it could be this, and it could be that. And he's, like, really intellectually talking about all the theories. He's excited to learn. And Ben Stein's just like, fucking idiot.
Oh, crystals, man.
Right. And we haven't mentioned this yet, but during this movie, throughout this movie, they keep cutting in with these little black and white stock footage bits or whatever, and it's literally like when the chemistry chick is in, and then they fire me, they'll show a shot of a guillotine.
Right.
Like, there is no level they won't go to on this.
A Nazi guillotine.
Because right. None of the things that are the stakes of their movie matter enough, so it's always just like, yeah, and they said you can't make a fake website, and then it's like people marching into the gas chamber with a big equal sign in front of it, and they're like, you get it?
Well, you know, at one point, at this point, they're talking to some scientist asking about how life began, and he's explaining, well, one theory is that molecules could have piggybacked on the back of crystals. That's all the explanation that they give you. And then they cut to this fortune teller guy going, oh, look into my crystal ball.
Literally.
Like, but look, your theory here, your hypothesis here is that the universe was created by a giant, omnipotent, undimensional, unbounded by physics fucking grandpa with a beard. Nothing sounds stupid compared to that.
Yeah, they're like, oh, crystals. Our guy didn't wear a hat.
Dumb.
They're using the fact that the word crystal is going to be confusing to their audience as their point.
Yes.
Just some guy in Bayonne, New Jersey going, fucking crystals. Dumb. It's what her wedding ring's made out of, though.
So now, this is also where we get a little cartoon to explain how, and I was so sure they were going to go with the tornado and the junkyard analogy. They didn't.
Oh, the slot machines?
Yeah.
That, like, you couldn't win a whole line of slot machines even if you had almost infinite time. I don't think they know how time numbers go up to, like, almost infinity. Like well, quite close.
He actually gives the odds. He's like, it's one in a billion, 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 whatever. And I'm just like, per what? You know, like, I mean, per second? Because we have billions of those.
Denominators don't matter. It's all about the numerator.
Oh, I see. No. Is that how math works?
What are the chances I would roll a six given all the tries?
Yeah, right.
Good. Pretty good. Inevitable? No.
Well, and I also love that they leave out all of these different abiogenesis theories. They throw the one, they give that one guy long enough to say the word crystal, and then they cut to panspermia. And I'm sorry, okay, like, no one thinks that's how life started. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Ever.
Right, right. Yeah. You can't think that. It's physically impossible to think that. And yet they present it in this fucking movie just so that they can get somebody saying, well, it's possible that life was intelligently designed by aliens and then seeded. And, oh, so you believe in intelligent design.
Yeah.
I believe this wall was intelligently designed.
Right. I thought you thought nothing was designed. Then where's your shirt from?
Nailed it.
That was so much of the editing process. Just like one guy who was solely paid to go, nailed it. Ben edits a little bit more. Nailed it.
Yeah, right.
What? Oh, nailed it.
And then, of course, the next argument they have to offer us is that, you know, the cell is way more complicated than Darwin thought it was. Therefore, he was wrong about something.
I have no idea, except that they try to illustrate how complicated it is with, like, super space graphics. Like, they have Windows 98 Movie Maker going like, pew-pew, pew-pew,
well, yeah, super space graphics. You mean the Mario Brothers Fire Stick with the ice climbers on it?
Darwin couldn't explain this.
That's Watson and Crick right there. Yeah, you got it.
Well, also, I love this one, too, because he's pointing out, he's like, well, you know, complex life form has so many genes in it, blah, blah, blah. You know, the number is obviously astronomical or whatever, but, like, the simplest life form has 437.
Well, wait, so since this is now a Christian movie and it's time to talk about math, who do you think we should bring in to talk about math in this Christian movie?
Do you have something that you haven't run by me?
I think it's John Lennox.
Oh,
because this is where they introduce John fucking Lennox.
I was sure you were going to bring someone on stage there that I didn't
know. Ladies and gentlemen, John Lennox.
Yeah, right.
How great would that? And then we all kill him? We should all kill John Lennox.
If you would like your
kill John Lennox t-shirt.
Our lawyer's going to beep all this out.
Yeah, I was going to say, Eli still thinks I was kidding about the libel laws, apparently. So
Andrew's just at home slowly
He's
thumping
just holding
the wall.
A beep button. Yeah.
But yeah, John Lennox is in the movie. And John Lennox has, if you didn't see this, how many of you saw this? Okay, a few of you saw this. John Lennox has two perfect chins. Not a double chin. Not, this is very important to understand. Not a double chin where it's like a little... He has a human chin and then another entire human chin that has grown underneath it that I am convinced operates independently. So he can eat more food. So opens up and there's just a toothless mouth under
it. It's like a skin mask of Churchill over his... Yeah, he's pretty rough.
And also I love that there's this great line here where I believe it was Lennox. He's talking to him and he goes... You know, well, how do the scientists justify that? And they'll say, well, they'll tell you that science is not a democratic process. And they offer that up like, oh, you mean it's communist? No. It's just not.
I wish it was a democratic process. Do you know how amazing science would be?
Right. We'd all have jetpacks by now.
Way more people watch Dr. Oz than listen to our podcast. It would be amazing. They'd be like, so, I'm going to give you these homeopathy pills and some freedom. Sorry, it's democratic now.
So, but now we have the bit where they list all the enemies of ID, which turned out to be all institutions in the world except for the church. But we start off with the Academy, right? The Academy of Sciences, and you know that.
You mean the communist Gestapo?
Well, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't have that quite right. But I just want to point out that every bullshit documentary we've ever reviewed on this show includes a congressman from Indiana who agrees with them.
Right.
This is three for three, y'all. If you guys want that state back, we're not using it.
This is Sounder, by the way, who is famous for cheating on his wife with a lady he made an abstinence video with.
Yes!
That's his claim to fame. Claim to fame is like, and kids, don't fuck people because it's bad. America. Da.
And for the listeners at home, that was visual humor.
Yeah, also, fuck you for not coming to England.
Yeah, there you go.
There are people in England who are like, sorry, mate, can't make it. Rabbity Tomfy. And I was like, fuck you. I flew 9 hours next to a crying baby and Noah reacting to a crying baby. You can come across your 3x3 foot country.
I was quiet most of that time. I was very quiet, I thought, on the airplane. Whatever.
So, also, I love this line where Ben
Noah
Stein
says... Noah killed a baby. Is that okay with the libel law?
Oh,
that's
yes.
You.
Yeah, well, it has to be unfactual in order to...
Right, okay.
But I love Ben Stein says at one point, he goes like, why is the scientific establishment so afraid of free speech? Now, we've got to, again, go over apparently the difference between free speech and freedom to speak here and now, right? Science gets their journals. You guys get fucking websites with multicolored fonts and a lot of flashy shit and too many hyperlinks.
Yeah, you get Cybabe's whole Facebook page.
Right.
Food Babe's whole Facebook page. We get the Cybabe's page.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, well, you get the Cybabe's comments anyway. But yeah, that's their argument here. And then they move on to their second villain, which is scientific watchdog groups. Basically, they're talking about the NCSE. Yeah. And I love that all of their editing is so, like, horrible or whatever, trying to make everybody look evil. And they try to do that with Eugenie Scott. But she's so awesome and lovable that you cannot do it. You cannot make her sound bad.
It is the best, worst attempt to make someone a villain in this movie. Because Eugenie Scott's like, well, you know, there are people trying to teach kindergartners the wrong thing, and we're just trying to make sure. And it's like, Nazism. Hitler. Honestly, they just needed her mouth to keep moving, and Ben Stein went, it's me, Eugenie Scott. The Jews started all the wars. Let's get them.
Wow, I can't believe she said that.
What? And also,
anybody?
Yes.
It's his catchphrase.
No, he gets there. Yeah, I love that he throws out like three different things. Like, remember when I was famous, y'all? Remember?
The most famous person they could find with Ben Stein, so they had to reference it because 99% of the people wouldn't have heard of Ben Stein.
Yeah, right.
He was like, come on, Bueller! Huh?
I'm
huh? It's like an uncle trying to remind you of that one time he met you when you were six. Just like, you remember? I got you a bike. Well, not a bike. A picture of a bike. I drew you a picture of a bike, and I never brought it. I've been in rehab.
Also, and I want to point this one out, too, and I know we're running a little behind on the thing, but I have to point this out, because Eugenie Scott points out, she says, like, you know, hey, you know, the thing that the Discovery Institute and people like that won't tell you is that most religious people do accept evolution, right? Now, we get to a weird point of convergence between me and Ben Stein here, because, no, they don't. Right? Those two things can't happen. If you can either not understand what evolution is and believe in God, or you can understand what evolution is. That's really the dichotomy there. You can't have guided natural selection. Those two don't can add up. And then we move on to our third villain, the media. Apparently, reporters all hate God too. And this is where we meet Pamela Winnick. She was a treat.
She's amazing. This is the reporter lady. First of all, she looks like she opened the Ark of the Covenant just a little bit and then immediately blamed her stylist for it. She was like, it's like, I went and I got my hair cut and I got my colors done. I opened the Ark of the Covenant and this is what happened. I don't get it.
All right, so this is her line, because you say, because they keep trying to make this argument that intelligent design isn't religion, which is complete horseshit. So she goes, I wasn't a Christian, I was Jewish, and I wasn't religious. Those two sentences don't contradict each other at all.
She's also very clearly a Ferengi in a wig. If you don't watch it, you don't have to watch the movie, it's super boring, but watch her, Google her, and then Google Ferengi. That is word perfect. Perma.
And also, like, they don't realize this is going against their point when she says, but I'm not religious. It's like, yeah, it's almost like just being wrong is the problem.
Right. Well, she has this great thing. She's like, you write one article about how God created the universe and they don't want you to report the truth anymore. Crazy.
And then we get villain number four, the courts.
The court. And this is the weakest argument they have, so the most dismissive they are. Like, through all the things they go through, they sort of like, and that's why that's wrong. The courts, they just literally go, doesn't count.
Yeah.
No.
Well, this is the actual line. I wrote this down. He's like, but I thought scientific questions were settled by the evidence, not by taking people to court. It's like, yes, but once you settle them with the evidence and you assholes still want to teach them to our children, apparently we have to take you to fucking court.
And he brings up the Scopes monkey trial.
Yeah.
In favor of his argument.
He's like, yeah, a lot of people don't know that the creationists won the Scopes monkey trial, or the Scopes monkey trial. Snopes, that would have been a good one, too.
And they show a clip from the movie,
yeah.
But they can't show what their side is saying.
Yes.
That's the scene where he's like, nipples! And so they just show him shouting, and they're like, yeah, he did great in that movie. And they literally say that play and movie are bias against us.
Yeah.
That bling that uses those court transcripts,
yes, exactly,
is against us.
Why was that monkey teacher the good guy? I don't know. Hannibal Lecter was the bad guy? What? Gotta watch that again.
And then he like teases you here because he goes like, intelligent design must challenge something at the very heart of the Darwinian establishment. But we're going to leave you on that cliffhanger. But before we do, we're going to pause for a quick break. And before we do that, I'm going to give our Act 3 the hard sell here. Actually, I'm not going to because my computer should shit out on me. Hold on one second. Here we go.
I'll do it.
No, I got it. I've learned my lesson.
Computer back into existence. I have some factual statements to tease. Yeah. Act 3 that I mean that aren't jokes.
Yeah. I know, which is why I'm going to be doing this bit. So here we go. Will Darwin be blamed for the Third Reich?
Yep.
Will Ben Stein's arguments team up with the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion?
Yeah, a little bit.
Will the entire third act of this movie be me wincing at the very real possibility of Eli making illegal Holocaust jokes?
Yeah.
Find out the answers to these questions and more when we return for the inestimably insane conclusion of Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. Okay, Heath, is that plugged in?
Yeah, I'm seeing levels on it and everything. Also,
hello,
dude. No,
dude, what the fuck?
Absolutely
what?
Not.
I'm a chimney sweep.
You're in blackface, dude.
I have soot on my face.
Tap out.
It's soot. It's soot. No tapping.
It looks like blackface. Also, you did your lips.
That is stage makeup, so people will be able to see me when I talk.
Nope. Tap out.
Nobody is gonna buy that.
Okay. Fine. If I wipe off most of my face...
And undo the lips.
And undo my lips, can I come out for our QED live show as a chimney sweep?
Yes.
Fine. You didn't even get to hear my song.
Don't do it, Eli.
Mammy! It's from Rent.
No, it's not. And we're back for more breakdown. And as we were heading to the break, our monotone hero promised us the challenge at the heart of the Darwinian establishment that intelligence design poses. And no, unfortunately, it is not a giant acid-spitting spider. Instead, it's the challenge of ideas. What a fucking disappointment. And this is where they're using all of these war metaphors and actually showing video of wars and everything. It's like...
They're showing Edward R. Murrow
right.
being like, the greatest conflict of our time is... Cut. Holocaust clip. They never answer anything.
Creation. It's basically, again, Ben Stein over Edward Murrow. Creationism. Yes. Creationism.
Evolution. Yeah. So, yeah. Fucking Dawkins equals Hitler. Darwin equals Hitler. That's actually where we're going to fucking go. But first we're going to go to Dawkins again. We're going to shit on him a little bit. And then we're like, who would have some objective opinions on Richard Dawkins? Maybe the author of the Dawkins delusion.
Don't ask my exes what I'm like. That's basically what it is. And here we have his ex-girlfriend. What's Richard like? He's an asshole. I don't like him at all. Well, there you go. We asked a random person. Not our fault.
I gotta say, Your British accent is killing it in this crowd, too.
I should have stayed dressed as a chimney sweep. They're confused.
They wouldn't have known.
The voice perfectly matched the chimney sweep, but now they're afraid that I'm being marionetted by a god. Again.
That is what they thought, yeah. So, and I love, too, this guy says at one point, he's going like, look, if you've got one scientist saying this thing and then another scientist saying the exact opposite thing, obviously there's some conflict here. And I'm like, but what if you've got 7 million of them saying this thing and 26 of them saying, yeah, right, exactly.
And this is where Recliner Man is like, Dawkins, you know, he doesn't know much about science, and I'm so bit... He's too busy doing a fucking, what's the Ray Charles impersonation that I'm, it's like, is he looking at pictures of Dawkins on the ceiling? Cause he's like, you know, Dawkins, he's verklempted. And this is also where they do this weird, like, they have him speak Yiddish to confuse people. Cause he can't be like, Dawkins is wrong and here's why, here's my evidence. So he's like, Dawkins, he's mishpucha, what can I say? Oy vey! Richard Dawkins, not a Jew. That's all I'm saying.
And then we get to this part where they interview P.Z. Myers, who again was lied to get him into this fucking movie. But the argument that they're making at this point, well, I'll get to it because they don't quite get to it just yet. But basically they have P.Z. Myers and they're like, you know, do you want to get rid of all religion then? And he gives this perfect answer, right? He gives this answer about, no, I want to educate people. And when you learn more, you tend to be less religious and religion could, you know, turn into a social club or whatever and just not compete with science for truth value or whatever. And then he goes like, Ben Stein goes like, I wonder what the world would look like if Myers got his wish. And I'm like, England! It would look like this! We've seen it! Other than shitty ketchup, it's pretty good.
But no, his answer is actually Hadamar.
Yes!
His real answer is Hadamar.
Yes.
The sane asylum where the Nazis killed people of disability.
Yes.
That's what he listens to B.Z. Myers be like, well, you know, it'll take its eventual place. And he's like, so you mean killing retards, right? Is that what we're talking about? B.Z.'s like, are you talking to me? No.
Yes.
Just whispering into my mic.
Yeah, so they literally go to Hadamar. And I love, too, where he's trying to get this... Okay, so he's got this tour guide that's taking him through. And she speaks pretty good English, but not great English. So he's clearly trying to confuse her with the questions that he's asking. He's like, would you say that Hitler's insane? She's like, what does that word mean? So you mean you think he's not insane? Well, you think he was just a Darwinian?
Even better, he's like, so were they all here because of the Darwinist Darwinians? And she's like, oh, no, I just give the tour they taught me. If only I had some Dutch to English translation! Full circle. Wait, question. Do they speak Dutch in Germany? They do, right? They do.
So the Dutch people in Germany very often. Yeah.
Ben Stein's like, can you show me a table where Darwin stabbed the retards in the eye? Yes. It's right here. We have it.
Yeah, well, they're like, this is a dissection table. I'm like, yeah, they have those in hospitals too, guys.
They just chose scary things. So they do show really terrible parts of it. They're like, oh, this is where the rooms were kept, and it was really cruel and terrible. But then they're like, none of this looks scary enough. It's just walls and rooms. So they're like, ooh, dissection table.
Yeah, right.
I expected Ben Stein to hold up a scalpel and be like, oh, gonna get you. Coming for you. Now you run away, little tour guide lady, and I'll pretend I'm an atheist doctor. Call me Richard.
I love too when they're, because they're talking about, they do this whole big thing about eugenics, and they're like, but the spirit of eugenics lives on today. Cut to a Planned Parenthood ad as he's saying that.
Yeah, they go with the Margaret Sanger wanted to kill everybody thing.
Yes.
Basically, their thing is like, oh, Margaret Sanger was totally into eugenics. She wanted to give poor people condoms because she wanted them to die out. The proud line of the poor people. She wanted to eradicate them from the world. You mean poverty? Yeah. That's their word. Where my porries at?
Very quickly, we move from, you know, like, the Holocaust to abortion and voluntary euthanasia as though we have not changed subjects. It's amazing. They start talking about, like, the love affair with death that the Darwinists have, you know, because they all want to murder everybody.
They show one guy talking about death with dignity and pretend it's suicide.
Yes.
The guy's like, oh, well, you know, if my cancer ever came back, I would want to be able to control that about myself. I want to make those choices. And they're like, well, I hope he never goes through with it. He's crying out for help. And then the guy's in his office like, Lou, grading papers, Lou.
I love this bit too. I decided to go where the, you know, the idea came from in the first place, but we couldn't afford the Galapagos apparently, so I just went to Darwin's house. And they have this long thing where they're walking through Darwin's house, and it has nothing to do with anything except for during this thing they have the most egregious quote mining I have ever heard in my fucking life. Now, I don't, again, most of you didn't see this, but basically they have this quote from Darwin that has a lot of ... left out of it, but it's this quote about how, you know, like, about social Darwinism that is immediately followed by Darwin saying, which would be horrible and we should never do, and here's why. But they leave that entire paragraph out.
Like, half the words in that thing. Totally out of context, cut out. It's like quoting Martin Luther King as like, I have a dream that we should kill black people. Yes. Like, yeah, he said all those words throughout his life. Right. You can't put ... in between days and months and years.
My life and my daughter's lives don't matter.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King.
Yeah. According to a meme I saw, yeah. And then we get to the part of the movie where, like, where they're going to have the confrontations with all the bad guys.
The big showdown!
Well, but before we get to that, I love this one. I got to throw this one out. Nanny's going to be pissed at me, but I got to throw this one out. Because we said we were talking about the Smithsonian thing where the guy didn't get fired from the Smithsonian, so that's the first villain that they have to go see. And of course, if they actually went to see his boss, they'd be like, "No, he's just down the hall. I can go get him for you." So what they did instead is they brought a whole film crew in to the Smithsonian Museum without any permission or anything. And I would imagine that they started just waving their dicks at people until they got kicked out. Because all we see is them getting kicked out. Eli is waving his dick for the audience. That, for the people listening at home, you really missed out.
It's hot in the room right now, and she waved at herself like, oh, it's hot in the room. But it was amazing because it synced up with my waving my dick. I thought she was just being super supportive. She was like, oh, yeah. Good job, Eli.
Shit.
The roof is on fire.
And now it's time for the boss fight.
The boss fight!
Yes. Where they have this extended... And we were... Before we did this, we realized we were only going to have 50 minutes. We're like, do you want to spend the whole time on this Richard Dawkins?
We could have done 49 minutes on this Richard Dawkins battle.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
And 1 minute on Ben Stein's appearance.
So basically, he says, you know, he says to Dawkins, he's like, so you don't believe in God? And he's like, no. He's like, what about Allah? He's like, no. He's like, what about these Hindu deities?
What the fuck is the matter with you? Why am I here?
Yeah, and Dawkins is literally, he's like, why are you asking me these stupid questions? What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, and it's frustrating someone and thinking they're frustrated by how right you are.
Yes!
He's just like, what if I ask the question in Japanese? Oh, I don't speak Japanese. so you can't answer the question? Crushing this!
So, yeah, so now we conclude by pointing out that if they were right, they would be right.
Really, that's what it is.
That's really the argument that they're making, because they keep making this argument that, like, we're not saying that you should accept what we're saying. We're saying that we should be able to teach it to your children as though it was a fact. You don't have to believe us when we do that.
Right. And we get that little voiceover of Ben Stein. He's talking to Dawkins, and he's like, voiceover, so it turns out I was right and Richard Dawkins was wrong. While he's sitting next to him in voiceover in post, it's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also, about halfway through this, and this is so fantastic, Dawkins realizes that Stein's an idiot, and so he starts reacting like Marsh being told about fluoride. So he's just like, okay, we need to take this several steps back. And he starts to, and this is the one where if you watch it out of context, you're like, oh, it looks like Richard's backtracking. But it's because Richard's trying to understand the level at which he needs to explain these concepts. So he's like, a mummy and a daddy frog walking all along. Tell me when we've hit it, Ben. Hit me. And he's like, still don't get it. All right, a mummy frog, no. Frog? That's the one. That's what I don't understand.
Why are you just staring at me? The voiceover thing. It'll be like 30 more seconds.
Don't worry. I'm crushing this in my head.
Yeah, right, right. And in post, as it turns out. And we're going to take a quick break from the live record to get you all excited about next week. That does do it for our review of Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. But that's not going to do it for the episode, because we still need to commit to more masochism next week. So, Eli, tell us, what's on deck?
I'm not ashamed.
Okay, so we're going to do a humor show about the Columbine shooting. This should be good.
No, this should be good. No. This is about a girl who was killed in the Columbine shooting. Don't be silly. So,
allegedly.
This is a new Christian film from the folks who brought us God's Not Dead, Uno, and Dos. Mm-hmm. About how so we've all heard the story, which may or may not be true, of the girl who says, I believe in God, to the Columbine shooters, and so they kill her, even though there's a lot of evidence that that's probably not what happened. Anyway, it's fine. Whether or not it happened doesn't really matter. What this movie posits is she was so awesome, and the fact that she died for Jesus was so great, that everyone in her school became Christian.
All right, so at least whatever we do will be less offensive than the fact that they made this movie.
That's true. That is true.
All right, well, at least we got that going for us. So with that to look forward to, we're going to bring episode 62 to a merciful close. Huge thanks to all the folks at QED for making the live show possible. An equally huge thanks to all the people who made it out to see us. And, of course, an ever so slightly more huge thanks to all the Patreon donors that helped make the show go. If you'd like to count yourself among their ranks, you can make a per-episode donation at patreon.com/godawful. That's patreon.com/godawful. And thereby earn early access to an ad-free version of every episode. You can also help us a ton by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes and by sharing the show on all your various social media platforms. And if you enjoyed the show, be sure to check out our sibling shows, The Scathing Atheist and The Skeptocrat, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever else podcasts live. If you have questions, comments, or cinematic suggestions, you can email godawfulmovies@gmail.com. All the music used in this episode was written and performed by Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars and was used with permission. If you like what you hear, hear more by following links on the show notes for this episode. Thanks again for giving us a chunk of your life this week. For Heath Enright and Eli Bosnick, I'm No Illusions, promising to work hard to earn another chunk next week. Until then, we'll return to the live show for the Breakfast Club close.
While there's still monkeys, if there was an evolution.
Monkeys.
Excellent. All right. So Richard Nixon's ghost was embarrassed by the dishonesty of his former speechwriter.
Ben Stein was never taken seriously by anyone again.
A ton of the good guys in this movie decided to be the bad guys in the movie about crying college students 10 years later.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much.
Do we know that kids can't catch bullets?
This podcast is sponsored by iQBAR. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.